This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Stories of redemption, service, and trying to make the community a better place to live. Those have been part of Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground series. We have heard from reporters and some of the people they have met in Kalamazoo's Edison neighborhood and on the north side. Second Wave is also on the ground in Battle Creek. We're joined by On the Ground Battle Creek Project editor Jane Simons and engagement editor Jeff Cotton. Thank you both for being here.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, Gordon.
So people have heard about On the Ground Kalamazoo. Is the idea very similar then in On the Ground Battle Creek?
It is, in that we are focusing neighborhood by neighborhood. We're spending anywhere from a month to 6 weeks in different neighborhoods in the Battle Creek area, really focusing in on the people there, the residents, the untold stories, and also, you know, giving them a voice that they don't ordinarily have.
Started with Washington Heights, correct,
in
Battle Creek?
Correct.
And are you still there now?
No, we moved. We're now in Urbandale. And the first story that we did in Urbandale was about a young woman who had left Battle Creek after high school, went to work in the banking industry for about 10 years, and her whole family is in Battle Creek, and they really wanted her to come home. And she ended up purchasing a flower shop, and she's done very well. Her mom's helping her with it, but she said she was really drawn back to the community in the Urbandale area, which is, you know, extremely supportive of different businesses there. And then the last story that we did about Urbandale was focusing on some restaurants there that have been around for years and years and years. And they don't really cater to the healthy food trend. They've really stayed true to their mission and the people they serve, and they've done extremely well for themselves.
Jeff, tell us about your background. You're from Battle Creek, correct?
Yeah. I was born here in Kalamazoo, but raised in Battle Creek. Moved there when I was like five. So I'm a Battle Creeker.
And you had an interesting youth, to say the least. Tell us about it.
Yes, tumultuous. I got involved in gangs very early. Started getting arrested at 11. And graduated from high school still, and a few months after that, ended up in the penitentiary system for the next 13 years. Went through a lot of different changes in there, growth spurts mentally, physically, emotionally, and by the time I came out, I wanted to come back to the neighborhood and find younger guys that reminded me of myself and help them change their life around and make better decisions with their days.
Is there a particular moment that you look back on and say that was a turning point, personally?
Actually, you know, I can't say it was one moment. I can't really say it was one moment. I think it was just, I call them plus lessons, things that I learned without trying to learn. And it's a culmination of those things. And then my mother's voice, of course. You know, always my mother's voice, like, you know, you should, you know, over the years, all turned out to be just about true with her judgments of the people I was choosing to surround myself with, the places I was spending my time at, all those different things. And I would always hear her voice. I call her my compass. And she would always, you know, when I was doing something wrong, I'd hear her voice. You're not supposed to be doing that. And I just started listening to it. I started listening to my conscience and my nervous system. When I would get nervous, I realized usually when I'm nervous, I shouldn't be doing something because I'm feeling, you know, a nervous reaction. So, you know, and it also had a lot to do with seeing other young guys come to prison behind me that was younger than me from the same neighborhood who knew me that I didn't know. I didn't know those little kids was paying attention to most of the stuff we was doing.
So one of the things we read about is that you're involved with this group called New Level Sports Ministries. First of all, take us back to meeting Pastor Christopher McCoy. How did you two meet?
We met on a rocky road. I got invited to a Kingdom Builders meeting, I believe it was, and it turned into a debate. I call it a debate. We're on the radio.
Might be called something else if the mics were off and FCC rules were not in effect.
It got real intense. and after that, we kind of started challenging each other. You know, because my position from the streets, I was boots on the ground, door to door when certain things was taking place. He had a haven where people could always come in the community and go to him. And I was telling him, you know, let's come out of the building. Let's bring that same assistance and attention to the people on the streets, which he actually was already. Just from my perspective, I wasn't seeing it, you know, the right way. So over the next couple of years after that, we got to know each other, and I helped him with a couple of events he had going on. He definitely aided and assisted the big homies in a lot of events that we had going on, and we gained a mutual respect for each other. And he had a opening football game last year for the new field with the Battle Creek Community Foundation, New Level Sports, and a bunch of different organizations. And I seen all the kids in the city down there. And that's when I made the decision that I want to go into business with you. You got the kids down here. Why would we try to pull the kids away from the program and start something new when you already have a base for the kids to come to? We can just come and add our energy to that. It makes more sense to me.
Let's go back and explain what Big Homies is.
Oh, that's a nonprofit organization that I co-founded. Well, I co-founded the Big Homies Community Outreach Program back in 2014. And then I had to redesign it to the Big Homies Incorporated. And it's a nonprofit organization dealing with at-risk youth, mentoring the at-risk youth. We have an after-school program. We also have an after-school Battle Creek Black History Program that's starting up in January this month, too. But we've traveled around the country going to some of the most dilapidated neighborhoods, with the most gang violence. We have a gang connection. All this, the same guys that I grew up we grew up against each other. We all grew up together at the same time. So now we're all older, so we can come out in public and demonstrate for the young guys. Like, we didn't used to like each other either. You don't have to kill each other, though. You got to survive. You got to live to make these decisions, to even be able to grow or understand that this don't really mean as much as I'm acting like it does. Like, you know. So, yeah, that's we've been to Alabama, Inglewood, Chicago, the heart of Chicago, had a backpack drive, community cleanups in New York, different things like that. Yeah, a lot of different places.
Do you see when you talk to young people that they have an appreciation for what you're telling them because you've been through it? I mean, do they see it that way, or is it still hard in the whatever we want to call it of youth to understand your experience and to relate to it?
You know what? I've recently kind of realized they don't really talking to them about what you've been through isn't the biggest thing, right? Just talking to them in general. A lot of these kids, a lot of these systems that we have set up in society, we kind of condemn children. We kind of we're trying to be so structured with them where we're just addressing them and telling them what we want them to do. Most little kids open up more when you just open your ears to them and relate to them. Like somebody the other day, an older lady at the church, she said, "Little homie, why you call them little homie?" I said, "They're the little homies." I said, "You got to deal with them like you care about them, even if you don't know them. They're going to tell the difference. They can tell the difference the way you handle them." Kids are highly intelligent. So sometimes it's the approach. I've learned more that it's the approach. I think that I understand them. Instead of making them understand me, I approach it to the point where I understand them, and I'm not condemning them, and I'm not treating them like they already doing something wrong. So they behaviorism usually adjusts to that, and they don't really do nothing wrong. And, you know, it's one specific kid, I can't say his name, but he recently went to the high school and got into it with his teacher and tore up the principal's office and pushed some papers off the desk. And his mother cussed him out, the preacher cussed him out, everybody cursed him out. And then I came down there and I asked him, I'm like, "Has he done this anywhere else?" He's like, "Well, no." I said, "Well, then can we go find out what happened?" You know what I mean? Like, can we go find out if it was a button pushed maybe on this young man? Everybody's not going to respond to words the same way. So as a community and as a society, I think we've reached a point where we need to do some adjustments, and we maybe need to deal with each other a little differently.
Do you look at some of these young men and say, you know, I know what would have pushed my buttons, and do you maybe have a better feel of how not to push them and how maybe to find the right thing to say at the right moment?
It makes it harder for them to lie to me. It makes it harder for them to lie to me because I can retrace their anger. I can retrace the anger, and I can, you know, kind of find out when you got mad. A lot of them go to the school mad already. A lot of them, I find out, they usually will tell you they woke up mad in the morning. So there's a problem there that needs to be addressed. We got to find out where this anger and frustration is coming from in these kids, 11, 12 years old.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We are featuring the work of Southwest Michigan's second wave on the ground Battle Creek project. I am speaking with Jeff Cotton, engagement editor, and Jane Simons, project editor for Southwest Michigan's second wave on the ground Battle Creek. How did you end up actually working with On the Ground?
Through Jeremy. Jeremy introduced us. Yeah,
Jeremy is who?
Jeremy is the founder and the CEO of Sprout organization. We did an article on Sprout. I believe it was a situation where Jeremy, he contacted me and told me that it was an organization doing a lot of good work for the community, and it lined up with a lot of stuff that I had interest in. And then I met Jane and Kathy, and they interviewed me, and we got along just fine, and it just kind of meshed. It worked.
New Level Sports Ministries, let's go back to them for a moment. There's a connection they're trying to make here between success in sports and success in other areas. What's that connection for somebody who you're trying to reach in this particular organization?
Well, the sports program, Pastor McCoy says the sports program came when they got some data back where the kids were excelling in sports and weren't doing very good in their curriculum and their grades and things of that nature. So it's an attraction to bring the kids down to have some fun and participate in group events. When they get there, there's other programs being offered. And usually, you know, I hate calling them follow the leader, you know, because we're all just following each other anyway. But usually when it's a group activity and they see other kids going to participate in different programs, then they join up too. The baddest kids in the world will try to sign up for the quiz bowl if they see some cool kids going down there doing it, you know.
So let me ask about a couple of other stories. There's a group called Ignite BC. What are they trying to do?
So that was formed by a group of young business professionals in the community, basically to provide activities, to provide networking. They're going to be, you know, part of the plan is to bring speakers in. They recently held a broomball tournament at the rink in Battle Creek last month. And I believe they had at least 16 teams signed up to participate, which are very good numbers considering the group just really started this past fall. And their hope is to grow. You know, they're open. It's not just business professionals. It's people in the community who want to get involved and want to make change, positive change.
Are you meeting a lot of people like that as you get out and meet people in Battle Creek? Are a lot of those people showing an interest in wanting to somehow make Battle Creek a better place to live, more open for business, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think I'm beginning to see more of that. I mean, I've lived there for 14 years now. And in that time, I have seen people coming together more, you know, wanting to really make positive change. You know, you take a look at what's happening downtown. We've got the construction on the Heritage Tower. New Holland Brewery's, you know, planning to set up shop there. There's a young couple, Cody and Caitlin Newman, and they just purchased an old building that used to be a record shop, and they're planning to turn that into an entertainment venue. So I do think there's a lot of you know, good stuff going on. Battle Creek Unlimited is working very hard to really change the city and the community for the better.
So how did axe throwing become something that goes on in Battle Creek?
Well, that was Jeremy Andrews. He is the chief excitement officer for Sprout, it started out as an urban gardening initiative, and it's grown by leaps and bounds. They've recently started offering a home delivery service called Sprout Box. And he actually got this started. He was getting married, I believe it was 2015. And he, you know, didn't want to give his groomsmen the traditional money clips or flasks or whatever you give your groomsmen. So instead, he gave them each an axe And it started in his backyard, and this past fall, it became an established business venture called, it's BTL Axe, and they meet regularly. You know, it's a private axe throwing club, and I did not know this, but there's actually a World Axe Throwing League, which just had a tournament in Chicago December 15th. So
it's something that it's got some popularity.
Right.
People are interested.
It absolutely does.
Worldwide.
It absolutely does.
So if somebody were to read these stories in Battle Creek, and then maybe they flip over and they read these ones in Kalamazoo, do you think they come away with the idea that people have commonalities that kind of spread across the region and maybe even across the state? Are there some things that maybe make these communities unique and distinct from each other? Is it some of both?
I think it's some of both. At the core, I think we share a lot of commonalities. I mean, I think people, by their very nature, want to make positive change. They want to make things better in their communities. They want to make things better for other people. But I also think the two communities are, you know, they're different. They have their own characteristics. And I think both of them now are really trying to highlight those, you know, the differences that make them who they are, that really give the communities that identity.
Jeff, you've spent a little time in both places. Commonalities and maybe some things, though, that make Battle Creek and Kalamazoo unique?
I believe that it's a big difference, kind of. And reading the articles, I think it kind of stands out a little bit if you read the articles. Kalamazoo seems like a more assimilated culture. They blend more with each other. And you can see more of a city identity emerging in the city of Kalamazoo. Battle Creek seems like we're a little bit behind that. And when you talk to the residents, you can see that we're kind of struggling to discover an identity in Battle Creek right now. We want to come together and cohese as a unit, collectively as a city, and develop identity. But I don't think Battle Creek has really put a stamp on the identity of the city yet like Kalamazoo has. I think it's happening. I think more people are contributing their energy to the current of the city, but I think we got a little ways to go, though. And I believe that on the ground, which is one of the things that interests me most about it, is they're trying to dive into it, and we're actually trying to find the people and get them to share their energy with the city, which is actually what's going on. The people are sharing their energy with the city as representatives of these different areas and neighborhoods, and the city should pay attention to these stories, I believe, and get to know the people a little better through these stories.
Yeah, you think on the ground may contribute to finding that identity?
I hope so.
Jeff Cotton is engagement editor, and Jane Simons is the project editor for Southwest Michigan's second wave on the ground, Battle Creek. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Links to their stories can be found at WMUK.org. West Southwest is produced by WMUK, the public radio station licensed to Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo. You can subscribe to the podcast through Apple, iTunes, and Google. There you can also leave a rating and write a review. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.